You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own stories and to share our content with others.
Today I have a very special guest, Jerry Brown. He's the head of U-Turn for Christ, and we've known each other for a while now.
Almost 23 years now.
Welcome, Jerry.
Blessing to be here with you, Terry, and really a privilege. We have loved you and Nancy, and your music has been so powerfully used by the Lord in our personal lives and in the life of the ministry of U-Turn for Christ. So it's an honor to be here with you today.
Seeing the red shirts, row after row of them show up at different places we've been over the years, it's always just a joy to see them there because they're on this journey, this expedition at different places in their process of getting free from things, and all stages come sitting in those rows.
That's right.
And I'm going, wow, Jesus, you've got a real fresh crowd here.
Yeah.
So go for it.
Yeah.
And it's such a joy. But can you tell a little bit about how you grew up and how you came into a room, so to speak, where Jesus could tell you what he wants you to do?
Sure, Terry. I was very successful in business early on in my life and found myself chasing the money god and ended up in a horrible situation of being involved in manufacturing speed and selling it all for the chasing of that money God.
Yeah.
I found myself in divorce court. My wife and I separated, two children very young, and her pregnant with our third at the time. It got down to the last time that we were to be in court before the whole proceeding was final, and I just asked her, Peg, what do you want from me? What is it that you want for me to do to be able to save our marriage and for me to be the daddy of my children for the rest of their life? And she said, I want you to go to church with me one time. And I said, you got to be crazy, lady. I've been in church all my life. I was born and raised into a family of 15 children.
Mm-hmm.
Very staunch Catholic family.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I want you to go to church with me one time. And when I went, the pastor was speaking from Ephesians chapter 5. When the Bible, you know, was speaking about woman be submissive to your husband, I was elbowing her and saying, if you would listen, we wouldn't be in this place, right? But of course, when he said, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and gave himself for her, and started to expound upon what that meant, I was infuriated, slammed the Bible down, told her that she had even her pastor set up for me to come to church.
That's a conspiracy.
And went out the door cursing and giving sign language to the ushers that I certainly regret today. But the Lord got a hold of my heart on the way home. The Holy Spirit broke me, and I found myself broken on the side of the road, weeping and asking God to forgive me. And it was a day that the Lord came into my life and began a change. And coming out of the background and the effect that I had on all those people, the Lord almost instantly, in the next few weeks for sure, and months, pressing hard upon me that I needed to help others that I had led astray.
Wow.
That's really where the heart of the ministry of U-Turn for Christ began. Although we were in that very Catholic background, we were robbed of the Word of God being spoken into our lives. So as soon as the Word of God started being shown to me and taught to me, and verse by verse, I was able to connect passages and pieces that I had heard sporadically at different times together. Boy, I realized, wait a minute, this is all real. You know, it was really quickly after that my wife and I were talking about how we would do that. We initially housed men in a double-wide mobile home in our backyard. We have about an acre and a half and have a second home on our property. When our children started to grow up a little bit and our daughter became 13, 14, we said, this isn't a good situation.
That's so good after.
So we started looking for another property. And then, of course, the Lord opened the door to be able to start the first ranch ministry.
Where was that first ranch?
The first ranch was in Paris, California. The headquarters is still there. My office is still there, Terry. I'll never move my office from being on the ranch with the men as much as I possibly can be. We've grown to now 13 other ranches in the United States and 16 other facilities in other countries.
Wow. I know that the Lord does big and important things through broken men. I'm interested, Jerry, in the conversational aspect of our relationship with the Lord, because you've described different things that have happened. You know, you were seeing piles of money doing what you were doing. Then here's the last person you expect God to speak to you through, the voice of your wife going, you got to come to church with me.
Yes.
And all of these things, I think we would agree that all of it is His voice, His process of bringing you to the point you're at right now. But those things that happened through the formation of you being broken, then the Lord being able to build something that builds men and women back into being human beings, basically.
Mm-hmm.
There's a conversation going on behind that. Everybody hears the stats. They hear the lead lines.
Yes.
They hear about the facilities and they hear about the headlines.
Right.
And you and I really know that the real important thing is not that, but the actual conversation that causes that to go on. Because how He gets us to actually respond to what our hearts really want is kind of an interesting mystery.
It is, and I just take you back to certainly that moment that we were in the courtroom, and God used a judge to be able to say from his seat, it's 11:45, we don't have enough time to get Mr. Brown into your case before lunch. I would suggest to you that you would go to lunch with your wife and see if you can fix your marriage before I dissolve it. And to have the Lord use a judge from the bench when we hear so much about the separation of church and state.
Yeah, this is church right here, baby.
And the Lord saying, wait a minute, you've got it all wrong.
Yeah.
I'm the one who put that man in the seat, and I'm going to use him in the seat to be able to speak into my son's life right now, was just a mind-blowing moment for me. And me realizing, man, that was God's, those words couldn't have been any more powerfully spoken, as gentle and softly as they were spoken through that microphone on that bench into my ears and into my heart. And like most of those that were deep in their addiction and selfishness, how do you get to be a drug addict by being the most selfish person
That's
in
right.
the world? Addicted to any of the addictions that are out there. But in my case, that didn't equate. And so the Lord had to speak that powerfully into my life that day, right before the only thing that we had left was child custody. And that's what that hearing was about. And the divorce was final. Terry, the Lord spoke so powerfully into my mind and in my heart that I had to go ask my wife. And the miracle was that Peggy said yes, that she would go. Once we were sitting across the table from each other, I asked her. And again, the response to go to church with her, it was almost a condescending laugh that I had towards her. Who are you? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And the Lord to speak to me again when I left there, realizing that there was only one, and this is the beauty. Jesus says, I'm the way.
Yeah.
And that word was a word that has been so powerfully spoken into my life, and for me to be able to speak into others. There is no other way.
Yes.
And he was and is the only way, not only then, but today, for me to love my wife like Christ loved the church.
Yeah, where else are you going to go? You can't get it anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. When I left that church meeting and slammed the door and slammed the Bible on my wife's chair and was driving down the road, it was a very clear, not that quiet, still, small voice that we talk about, but this powerful, rumbling voice saying, I have given you the one and only way. If you don't give way to me, then there is only a life of destruction waiting for you. When I'm broken and weeping on the side of the road, with enough of a knowledge of God from my Catholic upbringing, there was the tug. On my way out, Terry, a man that became a best friend of mine came out to me at the car when I was squealing the wheels to get out of the driveway from the church. And he said, Jerry, come back next week. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 6. And I didn't even know where Ephesians was to start with. An usher had to help me when they said, open your Bibles to Ephesians.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I certainly didn't know there was an Ephesians 6. And so I had no idea what that meant.
Yeah.
But I went home. And here's where the Holy Spirit just began to impress upon me. That day, I went home and I collapsed. And the Lord told me on the seventh day, go find out if there's an Ephesians 6. And if there is, you'll know it was I who spoke to you. And it was the hardest U-turn that I've ever made in my life to head back for the parking lot of Calvary Chapel Hemet. And that's where I found myself that morning.
Wow.
And the Bible was open and he said, my wife wasn't waiting for me this time. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew I was coming. I was in the parking lot at 4 a.m. I was waiting for the first service to start. And when the pastor said, open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, I just broke again and just started weeping. And I didn't hear anything else about the message, Terry, until he said, if you want to get right with the Lord, you come forward. And that's the only thing that I heard.
What you came for.
And there I was at the front of the altar weeping and asking the Lord to forgive me.
Wow. What a conversation. And it's always life-changing, isn't it?
It is.
When he speaks, it just changes everything.
The powerful thing for me was Peggy wasn't there that day. I sat in the parking lot after that service, praying and asking God to give me the chance to be able to speak to her. I had a restraining order against me that wouldn't allow me to be within 100 yards. And I just said, Lord, if this is you, then break the restraining order for me to be able to speak to her, or I'll go to jail.